Hey, Brad, last week we were talking about work as God's gift to man and how we don't always see it that way, and wanted to pick up on part two of that today because you got a lot of principles about work and things that we should look at because, yeah, we want God to bless us in our work, right?
Absolutely.
I feel completely blessed by my work. I do, honestly.
I think he's being sincere this time, Brad.
Yes, see
sure
that?
Yet.
Oh, I... Yes, I do. Brad, okay. I'm going to confess that out here right in front of everybody. I feel absolutely blessed by the work that I get to do here every morning that I get to spend with Kelly here and share that with our listeners. But more importantly, let's get back to the topic at hand. Work is a God's gift to man. Regardless of your current employment situation, there are principles of work that as Christians we are to obey and that God can bless. And so you talked about entitlement, Brad. So we're not supposed to feel that. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, and entitlement or that prideful feeling. I know you mentioned the word pride last week. Just makes me think of so many times in the Bible we read about the sluggard. And I think that pride can lead us to kind of that mentality. And the sluggard is that person that feels like they should get something without doing the work. And it just goes completely against what we've been talking about, where we've been created for work, and we get to glorify God through the work that we're doing. And there's so many pitfalls that come with that pride and that entitlement mentality. The person that feels entitled, well, that means that they're expecting to be able to receive without giving anything back out. So that's the person that's not doing the work, or they're demanding a higher wage than what they really should be getting paid because they have a higher view of themselves. And we can just read over and over in Scripture. I've got several points here that kind of allude to that idea of the sluggard. Proverbs 24 talks about passing by the field of the sluggard. And what you see is everything's kind of falling apart. It's getting grown up. The walls are falling down. And it finishes up with saying, a little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And then Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So what we're seeing again and again is this context of money and work being tied together. And I know on previous conversations we've had, we've talked about what do we want to teach our kids about money. And one of the basic principles is that work and money goes hand in hand. And the sluggard and that prideful, entitled person is basically going away from that thought. They're wanting to get the reward for the work, which is the money or the success, whatever it may be, and they're not wanting to put the work in for it. They believe that, you know, I shouldn't have to do that, or maybe I'm above this position, so I'm not going to go work and do this job. But in reality, it shouldn't matter what the position is. We should be looking at God as our ultimate employer, and whatever work we're doing for His ultimate glory.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad we're talking about this on a Monday, too, because when you come off the weekend, how many of us complain about having to get back up, go into work on a Monday? We forget who we're really working for, and then we can fall into all kinds of pitfalls if we're not careful. But, Brad, one of the other things you talk about, which, by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Brad Graber from investingintruth.com and about how work is God's gift to man. But you talk about chasing fantasies. What do you mean? Chasing fantasies leads to poverty.
Yeah, and again, this kind of ties into what we were just saying, and oftentimes that sluggard or that prideful person is looking for the way to make the easy dollar. So they think that there's got to be something better. I shouldn't have to go work like everybody else is working. I should be able to make that money in an easier way. And a lot of times, you know, it's one thing to dream and have ideas of building a business, and, you know, there's a lot of good justified things for people to be aspiring to. But eventually it can cross over to that line where this is just purely a fantasy and you're not dealing with reality. And ultimately, one of the big warning signs is when you see that the idea that this person has, they're hoping for this outcome of success, but without the work to get it. And that seems to be the common thread with any kind of fantasy that you hear. Just go back to that common principle. This is a biblical principle. Work and money go hand in hand. And this person is telling you a story or coming up with this idea where, you know what, I'm never going to have to work again, or I only have to work for a year, and then the rest of my life I'm going to reap the benefits and not have to work again. Those two things just typically do not go hand in hand, and it's because it goes against the biblical principle of work. And when we violate that, typically we're dealing with something that's not reality.
So, Brett, I'm interested. You just mentioned that, you know, people see certain things in our world and they want to go for that kind of quick buck. But let me just ask you your quick opinion. Is social media kind of laying a foundation for youth that are seeing, you know, simple ways to earn a living? Like, is that pushing us to avoid what God has called us to because we just see what other people are doing and we just want what they have? I know this is kind of a sidebar question, but...
Yeah, it's a good question, though, and I think it's one of those dangers that carries across more than just work that we're talking about here. Because social media is the place where a lot of us just put that image forward that we want others to see.
Yeah.
And that can certainly lead us to... I've seen a lot of situations where people start to feel depressed even about themselves because they're not living up to the standard that they're envisioning everybody else's life looks like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that can be the homeschool mom. That can be the young kid coming out of college that is hearing about all the great things that their friends are doing. It can be a lot of different aspects of life. But we have to remember that, you know, people aren't putting the hard parts of their life out there on social media because it's not going to win them the praise or the not set the image that they're wanting other people to see publicly of them. So we have to realize there's a lot of hair on a lot of these situations in people's lives. Nobody's life is perfect.
Yeah.
And we have to realize everybody's struggling. And that's where it's better to have those face-to-face conversations. Get out there and get invested in other people's lives, and you'll see the difficulties they're going through. And I'm not saying to do that so that you can lift yourself up by seeing other people's struggles, but it is just a picture of reality. Yeah. And inside the church, the more you get involved with the people in church, the more you see how, you know what, we're all going through the same things. We're all battling different aspects of our lives. And it's great then as a body to be able to come together and lift each other up during those tough times.
Yeah. Well, it just, to me, that makes it very, very inward and self-centered and focused on ourselves, which, you know, part of your objective in work is that we should be caring for others, Ephesians 4:28. So can you bring us a little bit light on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's part of that thing that has happened in our society is that we start to think about just ourselves, as you mentioned. And if we have the possibility to earn enough to provide for ourselves, we want to then take that extra time and use it for leisure. But it's not really what Scripture is telling us. And this verse I'm going to share with you, Ephesians 4:28, we know the start of it so well, but we often miss the last part. So I'll read the whole thing. It says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands." Well, that part we're familiar with. But then it goes on to say, "So that he may have something to share with anyone in need." And that's a part I think we often miss, that our work isn't just for us. Our work, if we have the ability to earn a greater income than what we need for ourselves, you know what that sets us up for? It sets us up to give. It sets us up to be generous to others who are in need and may not be earning enough to be able to provide for themselves at this point in time. And even if it's not that situation, it's setting us up to be able to give, to be able to further the gospel. So we have lots of opportunities if we're in that position that our work is providing more income than we need. It doesn't mean we should cut back our work. It means that, guess what? God is blessing us and going to use us as a conduit to be able to help others. And that's what we need to view is, again, going back to that, we're working for God. We're trying to glorify God. It's not about us. It's not about just working enough to provide for us. But let's go ahead and work and do our best. And then whatever God blesses us with, let's use it for His glory.
You know, before we run out of time here, Brad, which we are just about out of time already, one other great point that I think you make and that I've seen so many people get frustrated with, and I have back in the past with other jobs that I've worked, is that not all work is going to be instantly rewarded. And we may work hard for a while and look for that reward, that payoff. It doesn't come. Then we get discouraged and we start to fall into all those bad habits that we just got done talking about.
Yeah, and I don't think our society, as we talk about social media, I don't think we've gotten any better at not needing that gratification or needing that recognition or that payoff. And again, here we go back to the sluggard. Proverbs 24 says, "The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing." And if I learned anything from growing up on a farm, it's that there's a lot of work has to be done that doesn't seem very glorious, and it doesn't seem like it's really paying off. But if you don't do that work at the beginning, there's not going to be a harvest for you at the end. and how many of us are doing work and we value the work that we're doing based on that instant gratification. And that really, we're missing the big point of hard work. A lot of hard work has to be done, and we have to have that forward-looking vision, even just planting a garden. If you're not planting a garden in the spring, you're not going to reap any benefit during the summer and fall months. So a lot of work just has to be done as part of that long-term vision and that planning that has to take place for there to be an ultimate payoff.
Well, Brad, we're just so grateful to have you on with us again this morning. So, you know, your focus, building biblical perspectives for your finances. Visit investinginTruth.com for more information, and especially Brad's financial boot camp, the lessons that are available there. Just fantastic. Brad, thanks so much for your time this morning, and we will look forward to chatting with you again next week.